I took some liberty there and chose a different passage. And I actually was going back, looking through some of my older sermons that I've preached, and it was interesting because I said, this is neat. I preached a series in Joshua about three and a half years ago, and really felt that those messages were the Lord speaking to this church for things that were to come. And I'll tell you what, I looked back at those messages and I said, now I'm actually starting to see what the Lord had in mind back when I was preaching that back then. And it's kind of neat to go back. So I'm going to revisit some area and you're going to say, yeah, I already heard this. But that's okay. It's a good reminder. And I think it'll be interesting to see what the Lord had laid on all of our hearts. I think at that time we're starting to see where we're walking now. And I think this message is for us today again. And that is the beauty of Scripture. You know, how many times you read a Scripture passage and say, well, I already read that before. And you read it again, you say, whoa, I just caught something else out of there. And you read it again. And you say, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit showed me something else. And He'll do that. The only time He won't do that is if we don't read it. But every time we read His Word, we find that it is living, it is active, it is alive, it is powerful, and it speaks to us and gives us encouragement. I want to preach this sermon. It's called Be Strong and Courageous. And I think when you think about the fact that we've, you know, made some bold changes, we're now the Church of Hope, and you say we're kind of small, we got to grow. Yeah, we will. Now's not the time to be timid and fearful. It's the time to be strong and courageous, right? And yet, why does Scripture have to tell us to be strong and courageous? Because we naturally become timid. We do get overwhelmed, don't we? Life has a way of really taking the strong and courageous, kicking it right out of us. And so we're reminded to be strong and courageous. In this story, if you look in Joshua chapter 1, you find Joshua facing quite a challenge. Moses has passed away. Moses, arguably the greatest leader of Israel's history. Some would argue one of the greatest leaders of all history, secular and religious of any kind, one of the greatest leaders that has ever led anybody. Moses is gone, and now it passes on to Joshua to lead the people of Israel. The Israelites are camping out on the banks of the Jordan River, and their task is to expel the inhabitants of the Promised Land who themselves probably did not feel like being expelled. They kind of grew fond of the homes that they were living in and the lands that they owned and didn't really probably feel like allowing the Israelites to come in and wipe them out. Imagine Joshua feeling fairly overwhelmed. It's kind of like the story of a ship that was sinking, and the captain called out, "Does anyone here know how to pray?" One man stepped forward, "I do, Captain." "Good," the captain said. "You pray. The rest of us are going to put on life preservers. We're one short." Well, we certainly should pray. But we're going to look at a few more things that are a benefit to us as we look at challenges that God has placed before us. Look at verses 1 and 2 of our passage. It says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites.'" Interesting. God doesn't ask Joshua, "Are you interested in this task? Say, I've noticed you've been camping there by the river, and it's a nice camping spot. How do you feel about crossing the river? What do you think? Would you like to do that? You have a little bit of time on your calendar? You know, can you check your BlackBerry and see if there's an opening in your schedule? Which the Lord would not say that, because God would say iPhone, BlackBerry, please. Anyway, no, he says, "Here's what you're going to do. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to go." Right? You see how the Lord does? It is a proclamation of God. And He simply tells us at times, "This is what I want you to do." That's it. And when He tells us to go, He expects us to go. Now, that being said, I'm glad that God doesn't say, go do this. And we have no ability, no qualifications, no empowerment. Just go. And he doesn't just kind of throw us to the wolves. He empowers us. I once heard in sermon long ago, I'm probably a pretty small child, but I still remember it. And someone said, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I like that. That means there's hope for me. He says, you know what? You may not be the brightest. You may not be the best. You may not be the smartest. You may not have all the skills and all the stuff. But if you're willing to be obedient, I'll give you all the stuff that you need. He qualifies those that he calls. If he calls you to do something, make no mistake, he will give you everything you need to do it. He'll give you more than you thought you could ever handle. But he'll also give you the ability to handle it. Don't be intimidated by the assignment. God will equip us. Numbers 14, verse 9. Joshua's words to the people of Israel. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. God's on our side. We forget that sometimes, don't we? We see the circumstances, the surroundings, whatever, and we just get overwhelmed. And God says, I'm on your side. Don't worry about it. Yes, it looks overwhelming. I'm on your side. Hang in there. Be encouraged. I want you guys to be encouraged today. I want you to be lifted up. I really do. There's a lot of good things ahead. Be strong and courageous. God gives his proclamation. I would say he would proclaim to us, I want this church to thrive. I will build my church, he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's Jesus' words. So he proclaims to us, he wants his church to prosper, to move forward, to have hope. Oh, that's a good word, hope. It should like be in a name of a church or something. Wouldn't it be good? Yeah. We see the proclamation of God, and it's our intent to obey it. But we're also encouraged then in obeying the proclamation of God by the promises of God and the presence of God. Take a look at verses 3 through 5. These are some really excellent promises. God tells Joshua in verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. I'll stop there for just a moment. Doesn't that sound kind of cool? You know, you want to have some property, you want to get some land, and God says, tell you what, wherever you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. I remember the first time I read that, I thought to myself, I would just keep walking. The rest of my life, all I would do, I would be, where are you going? Doesn't matter. Wherever I'm going, it's mine. So I'm still moving. Well, I don't think I'd have sat down for quite a long time. I'm still walking because everywhere I set my foot is mine. I'd take a really long walk, and I don't really particularly like to walk. It's exercise. But in this situation, I would walk. Your territory, verse 4, will extend from the desert to Lebanon. So he had property all the way to Connecticut. That is incredible. Kidding. And from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, there is so much in those few verses, so many rich and wonderful promises. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. You catching that one at all? That's awesome. You're a winner. As I was with Moses, you know, and Joshua had to have felt like I'm in the shadow of this guy that's just been just an amazing leader. And he had to have been really in awe of Moses. And God says, you saw the way I was with him? I'll be the same way I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're encouraged by the promises of God. Folks, you need to be encouraged by the promises of God. And sometimes we get discouraged because we forget the promises of God. We don't read the Word enough, so we don't know the promises of God. We don't enter into His presence and talk to Him enough and discover the promises of God. But His promises are awesome. Now, Some of you have probably had an experience where somebody made a promise to you and didn't keep it. Anybody experienced that little? Yeah. Probably will happen more than once in your lifetime, right? Could have been a relationship with somebody. Could have been your boss promised you a promotion. It could be all kinds of things. I remember as a kid, there was an old man, and I think if I remember correctly, his name was Had. And I always thought, now that is one very strange name that he had. And he promised me every time he stopped by that he was going to bring me ice cream. I was a kid, and man, I liked ice cream, and we were dirt poor, and we did not see ice cream very often. And this man kept on coming and promising ice cream. And you know what? He never brought any ice cream. To this day, it's painful when I see names like Breyers or Edie's or Friendly's, and I have to run screaming out of the grocery store. It's awful. These jokes are funny in my head. I don't understand, you know. Yeah, see. Anyway, some of my best material right here this morning. Anyhow, God keeps his promises. God doesn't say, yeah, I'm going to give that to you and then never show up. He doesn't do that. God keeps his promises. One of the wonderful things about having Scripture is we look at the promises that God gave to Joshua. You look at the end of his life. You look at the whole duration of his life and you say, hey, wow. God made those big promises to Joshua and he came through. It isn't just some fabrication. When God makes a promise, he comes through. Listen to just in this one short passage, the promises he gives Joshua. I'll give you every place where you set your foot. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's awesome. I am sure that there were moments where Joshua and the rest of the Israelites would have to remember those great promises that God had given Joshua and find strength in those promises. Yes, I know it's hard, and I know now we're at Jericho, and these guys are huge, and it doesn't seem like there's any way that those walls are going to fall. But God told Joshua, we're going to have every place where he's going. And he said, walk around Jericho. Now think about that. God says, I'll give you every place you put your foot. And then he says, march around Jericho. What do you think's going to happen? Jericho is theirs. He says, I told you everywhere you walk is yours. Walk around Jericho. They had to remember that promise. Had to. That's an awesome, awesome promise. When the spies were hiding from the enemy on Rahab's roof, they might have been encouraged by God's words, I will never leave you or forsake you. God's promises are a vital part of the life of the believer. They are a rock for us through difficult times. Man will fail us. Man, meaning both male and female, all have the ability to fail each other, don't we? We're prone that way. But God keeps his promises. Well, now you're probably saying, that's all well and good. It's all nice to read in Joshua that thousands of years ago there was a man named Joshua who had some promises for him, and that's all whoop-de-doo, but he's dead, and I'm not Joshua, so what's that have to do with me? Well, there are some promises for you as well. Let's take a look. These are promises for all people, and this is just a couple. There are so many in the Word of God. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Anyone who comes to Christ and says, Lord, please forgive me of my sin and give me a new heart, a new start, a new life. You know what? He does, every single person. And he replaces that heart of stone that we have, and he gives us a heart of flesh, one that's soft and tender and can be tender toward him and truly love God. Here's another one. He promises to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9, how many of you learned that as a child, maybe in Awana or some other Sunday school or something? 1 John 1:9, one of the very first passages of Scripture I ever learned. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's a promise. That's one you want to hang on to quick like. We confess our sins, He is faithful and just will forgive us our sins. How many of you are pretty good at sinning? Get your hands up. Give me a break, every single one of you. Of course you are. And if you are, I'm probably twice as good. Guess what? When I confess that sin to Christ, the promise is forgiveness. Period. How about meeting our needs? That's not a bad promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Not bad. That is not a bad promise. That's not just for the people who read that back 2,000 years ago. That's for you. How about He promises us all good things? Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. A couple more here. How many of you like to hear good promises? All right. Wisdom. How many of you need wisdom? Yes, you do. A lot. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Do you notice this little phrase in here? He gives generously to all without finding fault. You know, I think sometimes we're a little intimidated to ask God for wisdom because we feel so stupid. You know, He's not going to say, yeah, you really do need wisdom, dim bulb. You know, He doesn't find fault with us. He says, you need wisdom, you're asking for it, I'm going to generously give it to you. I'm not going to demean you, I'm not going to belittle you, I'm not going to humiliate you, I'm simply going to generously give you what you're asking. I love that about God. He's not demeaning to us. He says, you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give it, I'm not going to find fault with you, I'm simply going to generously give you wisdom. How about peace? Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. How about escape from temptation? That's a good one. Anybody ever been tempted? Again, there you go. This is another one I learned as a child. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but with the temptation will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's a good promise. Now, I do think sometimes we say, well, where was the way out? Well, we were loving the temptation a little too much to see it, but it was there. He gives us what we need. He promises to be with us. Here's another promise. He's returning for us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The promise of His return. Folks, this is just a few. Just a handful of the promises of God that encourage us in obeying the proclamation of God. One last one. Revelation 21, verse 4 tells us that we are promised an end to death and sorrow and pain. It says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's a promise we're looking forward to its fulfillment. Amen? That's a good one. These are amazing promises. It's not even close to an exhaustive list. That's why I encourage you, spend some time looking through Scripture at the promises that God gives us. They are amazing. How many times do we needlessly struggle with guilt or stress or fear, financial worries? We all do. We forget about the promises of God. The hymn writer said, What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Promises that are for us. Now, how do I know that all those promises I read in Scripture are for us? That's a fair question, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Did you hear that? That's kind of a cool verse. You're allowed to say verses of Scripture are cool. It's okay. Give it to you one more time. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, and they are a bunch, no matter how many promises, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I don't care how many He's promised. They're all for you. They're all for you. They're all yes in Christ. When you read that at home, don't do it here. But when you go home and read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, you're allowed to yell Yahoo or Yippee or something. But don't do it here. Or if you have to, it's fine, I guess. No matter how many promises, they're all yes. Now, let's get back to Joshua. He's still back there, camped by the river. We can read of these promises that God has made to him, and they are great promises. But the wonderful thing is that God came through on those promises for Joshua. Think about it. If God made promises and broke those promises to Joshua, that would be pretty devastating. If God breaks promises to us, that's pretty devastating. It's a whole lot worse than a crazy old man forgetting to bring ice cream, right? It's pretty big. We put our hope and our faith in God, and he doesn't come through. We're devastated. A whole lot of people are devastated. God's eternal reputation is at stake. You have His chosen people, the Israelites. They would be the laughingstock of the world if God did not keep His promises and bring them into the promised land. But I want you to hear the words of Joshua at the end of his life. This is cool stuff. Joshua 23. And I would invite you to turn there. Joshua is in the Old Testament, right before the book of Judges. Joshua 23, we're going to look at verse 14. Page 116? 168, sorry. Joshua's words, Joshua chapter 23, looking at verse 14. He says, "Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." What's God's success rate on keeping promises? 100%. I love that verse. I love it. I love that Scripture included this snippet from Joshua at the end of his life, and he could give testimony to us. He could bear witness to the faithfulness of God and say, you know what, all those promises that God made, and we looked at them, they're pretty big promises, right? Those were huge, substantial. Everywhere you set your foot, I give it, it's yours. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Those are big promises. And Joshua says, you guys all know, not one of them failed. Not one. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That means never, not ever. Someone this morning might need to be encouraged by that. It might feel like God's letting go. He isn't. He doesn't. It might feel He's a million miles away, but He isn't. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. never. And that means exactly what it says, never. Will he send you into hardship and struggle and difficulty? Well, he sent the Israelites over the Jordan River. He sent them into a land where they had to defeat enemies and giants and all kinds of things. But you know what? They did it. He was with them. So will he send you into hardship and struggle and difficulty? Yeah, he will. Will he be with you the entire way and never leave you nor forsake you? Yep. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, as we close. Being confident of this, the Apostle Paul says, that he who began a good work in you will do what? Carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He promised to do that work in you. He's going to finish it. I have a weakness at times. I'm really good at starting projects. I don't always finish them. There are still some walls in my son's room that need to be painted. Right? We've all done that, right? You start a project with a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, and somehow or another, that project that was started 10 years ago is still not done. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, what a promise that is. Yes, he started to work, but unlike some of us, he's actually going to finish it. He's going to do the work that he started. He's not going to leave us or forsake us. He's going to fulfill all the promises that he has for us. I don't know what your struggle is this morning, individually, personally, but I can tell you that God's promises are for you. I can tell you that when you are overwhelmed, that if you will cry out to him, you will find strength that you never knew existed. I only know this because I've lived it. And that not one of the promises that God has made to me has ever failed. Nor will it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for the encouragement that you give to our hearts. And you tell us, when I command you to go, you can go, and I will be with you. No matter how hard it seems, no matter how overwhelming it is, I'm with you the whole way. I thank you for that truth. Thank you for your promises. I thank you for the fact that all of your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and we can say, forgive my sin. Make my relationship right with God the Father. And you say, absolutely. Forgiven. Cleansed. Right with God. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for all of your promises, Lord. And continue to empower and encourage this, your church. And may we be a place where people will come and find hope, where people will come and discover the promises of God and find them to be true in their lives. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen.